like a robot. So much so that me and Lydia went out for dinner on Monday, and I sat on the left-hand side, and everyone else was there. There's about 10 people. This wasn't a good idea, because I could only face that way. So if someone spoke to me, the chairs was on wheels. That was quite a touch. So if someone spoke to me, I had to, like, proper evil villain it, and I was like, yes. And then someone talked to me there, and I'm like, oh, bleeding heck. So I was like, back and forth. So by the end of it, I had bad back having to keep swiveling. So yeah, so I was in a bit of agony. So I did what everyone does when they're in a little bit of agony. And I went and saw Jenny. Some jiggery pokery, and grabbed my neck like that and said, there's another one popped out. No, she didn't really. She actually done quite a bit of good. And then I decided to go to sleep, which wasn't a good shout. Because when you go to sleep and you wake up on a bad neck, you get an even worse stiff neck. So I went to work and I was like, right, I'm going to do this. I sat down, switched my computer on. I said, I'm not going to do this. So I said, I'm going home after 10 minutes. And I did what everyone does when they finish work after 10 minutes. What is that? What does everyone do?
Go to
you think that's close? Yeah. I went to McDonald's. I think I've got a bad neck. I need a McDonald's because it'll make it better. So anyways, I went to McDonald's and I was healed. Thank you for coming. I'll see you later. No. Everyone's going to McDonald's. Like, after this, it's going to be so crowded with McDonald's.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. McDonald's breakfast and a coffee. So line up for tomorrow morning. No, so I went to McDonald's. While at McDonald's, I tried frantically calling people because I can't drive because I'm sad like that. And I was like trying to get a lift, and I spoke to somebody, and they said that I should call somebody else. So I was like, okay, and it was one of my dad's friends. And it's quite a funny coincidence because a couple of weeks before, I was talking to Lydia, and I was talking to my dad, saying that I want to get together with this certain group of people and spend some time with them, maybe do a Bible study with them, because growing up, I learned so much from these people, and I saw a lot of God in them. I saw a lot of just great friendship, and was part of a lot of great fellowship with them growing up. And I kind of wanted to get that back as well, and so that, and for Lydia as well, to kind of see those people and hear those stories, because I think it's good to hear different stories. And it was one of those people, anyway. So I've called them up, and I said, "Oh, I know it's a bit cheeky. I've not spoken to you for ages, but I'm a bit stuck. I need to go to hospital." And she said, "Brilliant." I said, "It's not brilliant." And she said, "No." I said, no. And she was saying, basically, she said, "You know, I've had this day free, and I was really hoping that God, I was praying that God would use me for something today, and this is it. So I'm on my way." So I said, "Brilliant." Anyway, so I quickly ate my McDonald's and drank my coffee, so I didn't have to buy her one. It's really bad, isn't it? That wasn't the case. I was already left McDonald's by that point. Should have gone back. I'm going to get told off. I'm going to stop and go home. So, yeah, anyways. So I got picked up, and I got in the car. And obviously I'm on the left-hand side, so I'm like, I'm going to talk to you by looking through the mirror. And, hey, how you doing? Everything's good. And, yeah. It's like, how are you? I'm fine. How are you? My neck hurts. So we're going to hospital. Anyway, so I slide in. Kind of talking. It's basically a situation of, how are you? Yeah, I'm good. So are we praying now? Are we praying when we get there? Or are we going, do you want to go to hospital? And I was like, I'd quite like to go to hospital. Because they do drugs there, don't they? So, well, they do. But these people, she also said that these people are given these talents from God in order to heal people. So anyway, we pray a bit in the car. Is it better? No, not yet. So anyway, we pray a bit in the car, and said, okay, we'll pray more when we get there. And we just talking and stuff. And it was really good. It's funny how God had, through my pain, worked that connection of somebody. I can't see you guys over there. Yeah, through my pain, had put me in touch with somebody that I'd had thought of a week before. I want to get back together with these people and actually talk and kind of hear what's going on with them and hear what God's doing with them and stuff like that. Anyway, so we get to the hospital. And we sit outside for a good, I don't know how long it was, felt really quick, but it was probably a good 20 minutes, half an hour, and just praying, really. And it was just really, what struck me in that moment was that these are the people that I thought growing up. Do you know these people that have, you've got an issue, right, we pray. You know, right, we've got an issue, right, we pray. I went to, after I'd done my neck, I went to one of my friend's house, and he followed me all the way to the car when I was leaving. And as I sat down, he just started praying for me. I was like, all right. You know when someone's praying for you and you don't realise it at first? So they put their hands on you and they're praying for you and you're like, so mate, what is... Okay, yes, yes. Heal me, Lord. You know, but that's... And it was just really good. I needed that. And so it was really good just to kind of be with those people and to just pray. And then prayed for a couple of minutes. And I'd like to say I got out of the car and I was tickety-boo. That would have been really bad if I fell over and done my neck. Jenny would have come up here. No. So it's not a comedy show, is it? It's church. So. No, but I wasn't healed, but not in that moment. But I believe, and, you know, just because you stop praying doesn't mean God stops working. You know, if you pray for something, healing, new house, new job, anything, God doesn't just stop working. Like, so why are you praying? God, I'm doing something, I'm doing something, I'm doing something. Amen. Oh, it stopped. God continues to work while we're not praying. It doesn't mean you should stop praying. It just continues to work for it. I've got no idea where I am because I've just rambled on. But hey ho. I'll just keep rambling. Knock, knock, who's there? But no, it just made me think that God does really work in amazing ways to put these things together, to put these people back in touch with you, Lord. You know, Lord, the Lord is good like that. And it is also proof. I mean, I'm healed now, as you can see. Thank you, Jenny. And God. And drugs. Jenny, God, and drugs. If ever there's a problem and you need a remedy, go to Jenny, go to God, and go to go to your doctor. I heard Lydia and Paul done a bit of a job. I'll do talk about that later. I did. Now I've left you in a really bad place. Don't worry. Maybe I'll explain it after. No, but it's just proof that God lines everything up perfectly so that he can work wonders in your life. You know, I hurt my neck and it was a really bad situation. But through that, I had so much gain in that I was able to get in touch with these people again and to start doing what I wanted to do without me actually having to kind of consciously go, right, I'm going to sort this out. God just lined all of that up for me so that I could do that. It's just a wonderful thing. And God's good. He does this in a little thing. Sometimes it's so subtle that he lines these things up that you don't even notice them. But yeah, so it's just proof that God does awesome things through our pain. A prime example is our Judith, who had a lot of pain, had a lot of going to hospital. A lot of endurance and kind of trips to and fro the hospital and things like that. But every day, there you go. But through that, there was a gain in that she had an opportunity to minister. You know, we know our Judy, she's not shy, she'll tell them what she thinks. Someone says, how are you? Someone's praying for you. Like, you know? Sorry. But yeah, but no, it's an opportunity for her to minister and say, actually, people at my church are praying for me. And through that, good things happen. You know, through our pain, God can work. And it's not only for your gain. Sometimes it's for other people's gain. Like in Judith's situation. It wasn't necessarily for her gain that she got to minister. Although it's good to exercise that. It's good to the people that she spoke to. Because they may not hear that in a day. And along comes someone with something that they've not heard. And someone may need to hear that. You know, through her endurance, she was able to minister to people that may have needed that. So God just work wonders, really. So, I mean, one of the main Bible stories, I won't talk about it as such today because I've done like two or three sermons in the past, but is Joseph. Sum up, he's sold by his brothers. Gets his coat nicked off him. And, you know, he's sold to Egypt and then he becomes kind of the leader of the land of Egypt. Through his pain, come a lot of gain for him. So has everyone got their Bibles on the story? I was going to put it up on here, and then I realised that I think we forget how to use our hands in this church and find a bit of scripture. So there's Bibles on the tables, and I need you to find John 8, and from the beginning of there. I'll time it. We'll do a sword drill. When you found it, you've got to put the Bible on your head. I feel like I'm at Checkatry again. Unless you've got a bad neck, then put it on your lap. John 8, from the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John 8, yeah, from the beginning. You've got your phone on your head. Yeah, like the modern day church, isn't it? Oh, I haven't found it. I love a bookmark. Where is my bookmark? Oh dear, look, I've lost it now. I found it. All right, is everyone? If you're not there, it's too late. Right, you can take them off your heads. Everyone's done it. Come on, guys. Yeah, John 8:1. Problem is, I've got really bad eyes. If I want to read it, you can't see me.
So we've got to go like this.
Do you actually want to read it? You've got bad eyes as well, yeah. So. Then each went to his own home. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. You at the Mount of Olives, yeah? Just start from the beginning. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple court, where all the people gathered round him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Again he stooped and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left. With the woman still standing there, Jesus straightened up and asked her, Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." That's quite. So in this story, we have a woman, that is having a really bad day. Thinks she's got up, done something, and then it all went a little bit wrong. She's had a really bad day. But Jesus turns this around and uses this as an opportunity to minister. This woman's bad day. This woman, if Jesus hadn't have been there, would have probably been stoned. But as Jesus was there, he was able to use her pain, you know, to teach a lesson, I need some water. To teach a lesson that still helps people today. It's helping me to write the sermon. You know, it's still helping people. So good things can happen in all situations. You know, we're unsure sometimes, you know, how it's going to happen when we're still going through pain. So the woman in this story, we only hear about the end of it, really. We only hear the end of this woman's story in this whole kind of chapter. But this woman, it's probably safe to say, had a bad day. And she made a big mistake and she got caught for it. She was probably dragged down there, forced to go to the temple. I'd imagine the journey wasn't very nice. She was probably named, spat on, or what have you. Who knows what happened. But I can't imagine they was nice and just kind of brought her there. What have I done? That won't work. I'll be alright. Thank you, though. Tell you what, I'll put it here. Look. How about that? It's good for my back. Is it? Nope. Is that better? It's, well, I'm, shut up, Scott, come on. So yeah, she was forced there. She walks in, there stands Jesus.
result.
But we don't know that the woman knew Jesus. In fact, the fact that in here, the woman actually calls him sir, maybe suggest that she doesn't. Because a lot of the times when someone's talking to Jesus in the Bible, I don't know if it's a translation or whatever, but they normally say Lord or Master or something like that. No, but in here it just says sir. If you've got it that says differently, then let me know. But so maybe she doesn't know. She probably walks in there, put in front of these people and thinks, cock, here we go, game over. You know? They're saying they want to stone me. But no, Jesus kneels and writes something in the sand. You know, it must have been quite powerful in that instance. I can't imagine he went down and finished his Sudoku that he was doing in the sand. He probably wrote something really powerful in that. Do you know? There was a joke in there somewhere. And then he says, he without sin cast the first stone. You know, so much teaching and so much good. And to that woman, life gained. Do you know? There's teaching in that. And to that woman, she gained life. It's a teacher stare. You taught me that. Yeah, to that woman, she gained life. Not only that, she gains life free of sin, free of adultery, and told by the Son of God, you know, you're free of that sin. Go and live that life free of sin. So actually, for her getting dragged there to that temple might have been the best place for her to be. She didn't think that on the journey, I'm sure. I'm sure she didn't want to go. But through being there, God said, you're free of this sin. Go and live your life free of this sin. So yeah, we might not see the gain straight away, but it is coming. Can anyone think of another story in the Bible where there's pain and a bit of gain? It's quite famous. What story? John. Another story. It's really famous. There's one. It's the correct answer to everything, Christian. Jesus! But yeah. This is the story. Okay. Bibles again. Sword drill. I bet I'll win because I've got this bookmarked and I'm going to find it first. I'm there. Luke 23:32. I've lost my other verse now. I'll find that later. Luke 23:32. Is his there first? We teach him well. Look at our youth. Look. How good is this? Caitlin, we do. There you go. You have that. Take it. You can have my Bible. Luke 23:32. Caitlin got there first. Brilliant. Is everyone there or am I just away? Okay. 23:32 says this. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals. One on his right, the other one on his left. If it was me, I could see the one on the left, but not the one on the right. Swivel my cross. No, I can't say it. That's really bad, isn't it? Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Neither do I. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, he saved others, let him save himself. If he is God's Messiah, the chosen one. The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine and vinegar. And said, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was a written notice above him which read, this is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. So, probably the biggest pain and gain story of the Bible can't believe he didn't get it straight away, but okay. Maybe not so much little pain in this instance. Maybe quite a lot of pain. It's definitely not something that I could imagine going through. Jesus went through so much pain for us. I would not be doing that. Do you know? But through that, instantly in this passage, there's a gain for somebody. Instantly there's a gain for somebody in this passage. Do you know? Jesus is on the cross and he's still saving people. People were teasing him, telling him, save yourself. I'm sure he could do that. But he doesn't. He saves that criminal on the cross. And he gives that criminal on the cross, you know, eternal life. You will be with me in heaven. Through Jesus' gain, immediately there's gain for somebody else. Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise, he says. So believe it or not, that criminal was in the best place for him that day. He was living a life of sin, you know. He wasn't getting eternal life. Can't imagine. But Jesus, on that day, gave him eternal life. He was in the best place for him. I bet he didn't think that as he was going through it. And then as we all know, 3 days later, what happened 3 days later? It's just been Easter, so... He rose again. He steps out of the tomb. I'm not doing that. He had so much pain, but rose up for the gain of the world and for each of us individually. It says in 1 Corinthians 15, 3-5, you don't need to find this. You can find it if you want. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and he was raised on the third day. In John 3:16, what does it say?
God says, God says.
For God so loved the world, he gave his only beloved son or something.
Whoever would believe in him.
That whoever would believe in him would perish but not die.
Not perish but have eternal life. But yes, you're right. You know, if Jesus didn't go through that pain, we would not be able to stand here today saying that we have eternal life. You know, saying that we can be free of sin because it's already been paid for. We wouldn't be able to do it. You know, we have Easter. And we say that we remember it every year. Do you know? Yeah, we remember God died and he rose again. But do we really grasp it? How much pain that he went through on that day. Do you know? How much pain he had to go through. Has anyone ever seen The Passion of the Christ? Quite a few. I know, as you say, you can't watch it. A lot of people won't watch it. Because it's a tough watch. It's not something that you just put on a Sunday afternoon and have your roast and watch Passion of the Christ, do you? But I think it does quite a good job. And I'd imagine it was a lot worse than that. It's, you know, but a lot of people can't stomach it. But it really does show what he might have gone through. It's incredible. You know, but Jesus did it for you. Did it for you, did it for you, did it for you, did it for all of us. And he didn't know us then. We wasn't even thought of being around. Your great, 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 great granddad wasn't around. Unless you're really old. He wasn't around and still he went through that torture and that pain for you. Now a lot of us, in fact any, we wouldn't go through that pain for someone that we really love. It's a lot of pain to go through. But Jesus was, you know what, I'll do that for you. I will go through this pain. Not for Jesus to get gain. He didn't do it for him. They're having a great time. He didn't do it necessarily for him. He done it for us. So that we can gain eternal life. You know, so that we can gain a life living free of sin. You know, and this isn't something that we should just take lightly. Are you going to join them? Tell them to start a conga line and come out, I'll join in. This was the serious bit, but I'll do that later. No. You know, this isn't something that we should take lightly. You know, and just say, yeah, I'm free. Cheers, Jesus. And crack off and live your life. You know, you need to try every day to honour his sacrifice. Honour his sacrifice that was made. You've got to try really hard every day not to sin. It's not easy. You know, but we shouldn't just say, like, I'm free of sin, so I'm going to go on sinning every day. That's not what it says. That's not what it's all about. You know? But if you sin, you should just know and you should thank Jesus that you're not going to be condemned for it. That's what he's done. You should turn to him. Instead, you should try hard not to sin and just honour him for what he did. You know, there's not excuses for, I'm in pain, so it's okay. This is happening to me. I can do this. Do you know? It's not a good place to be. Using your excuses so that you can sin. Jesus has paid all of that. You know? You can't do that. God has it in his hand. You know? He's got all of your pain he has in your hand to use. So you've got to honour his sacrifice. And let God, just let God do his thing. You know? I know you want to be angry sometimes. It's okay to want to be angry. It's okay to be angry. Because of your pain. But you can be angry at him. It's okay to be angry at God. But go to him with it. Don't go to someone else and start, oh, God's rubbish because this and that. Say, God, why are you letting this happen to me? I've done that loads of time. I've been there and I've been like, God, you have really messed up with this one, mate. What are you doing to me? Anyway, so then comes the thunder and like, no, it doesn't. But, you know, pray to him. That's the way to channel it. But sometimes it's so tough. So tough through the pain. So tough through the pain that you're going through that you can't talk to God. Because your sin, or not even your sin, your pain is so big. You don't want to go to God. It's so tough. And sometimes you think it's so tough and I'm going through so much bad stuff that God's forgotten you. It's not the case, but I'm sure quite a few of us have been there, if not all of us, when you're at the point when you're like, God, why, if there was a God, surely this wouldn't happen. Or there is a God, but he's definitely not thinking about me right now. So tough. You feel like you're alone. And God doesn't want to be a part of it. You're going through a tough time. I don't want to be a part of it. God's not doing that. But I know this because I've been through it. I know that you can be angry at God. But when I was going through it, that was a 2-minute warning, but it's not 2 minutes. When I was going through this time and I was in so much pain, I was like, I cannot talk to God because he doesn't understand. How silly is that? You know, and I found this song and it really helped me to be able to go through it and made me feel like actually I wasn't alone. I felt like I was alone, but actually I wasn't. So, yeah, just if you could play the song.
Sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain. Falls. I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I cry, you hold in your hand. You never left my side. stumbled in the wind. You heard my cry to you and raised me up again. But my strength is almost gone. How can I carry on if I can't find you? But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through. My hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands. You are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, you hold in your hand. You never left my side.
If any of you want to know what song that is, it's Casting Crowns, Praise You in the Storm. And that, yeah, that really did help me through a lot of tough times when I just wanted to shout out at God and I didn't know where he was. And that line in it, I look my eyes up to the hills, where does my help come from? You know, that's the thing, isn't it? You've got to look up to the cross. Where else can it come from? I just want to finish with this. Romans 8:18. The pain that you've been feeling can't even compare to the joy that's coming. The joy that's coming. The pain. The pain that you've been feeling cannot even compare to the joy that's coming. You know, we think that the pain we're going through is so much, not always just physical, but also mentally, you know, spiritually. You know, we think it's so much. So much that it's the worst thing that has ever happened. Sometimes it is the worst thing that's ever happened to you. Sometimes it is. It can be the worst thing that will ever happen to you. You know? But know that God has it in his hand. You know, it can't compare to the joy God is going to lay out for you. You know, it might not be today. It might not be tomorrow. It might not be next month. But God has a plan. And through your pain, he will put gain in place for somebody else, for you, and he will work things all together. When you are going through that tough time, don't turn your back. Just look up for him, seek him, seek friends, seek help. Don't do it by yourself. You don't need to be alone. You know, I know a lot of people are going through stuff at the minute. You don't need to be alone. You've got so much friends and family around you that just want to love you and want to help. So just want to close in prayer before the joy. And if any of you want to pray, feel free to. I'll leave a minute just to pray out if you want to at the end. You don't have to. Yes, Lord, I thank you for all that you do. And I thank you that through our pain that you do work things for the good. You know, through our pain you do work wonders. I thank you that you set the example of going through pain so that we can gain, Lord Jesus, and look forward through that, Lord Jesus. I thank you for all that you've done so that we can be free of sin through your pain, Lord Jesus. So that we can be free to worship you. You know, in this country, we are free to worship you free of pain of doing that, Lord. Some countries don't have that privilege. And I really thank you for that right now. And I pray for everyone in here that is going through pain, that you give them the gain as soon as possible, Lord Jesus, or at least show them that you're working in that situation, Lord Jesus. Show them that you are there and just really be with them, be by their side, Lord Jesus. So I just really pray that you're with us as we go through the week, just to look out for all those little subtle things that you are working together for your good, Lord Jesus, and to notice them, Lord Jesus, and just really be with us, God. I'll just leave a minute if anyone wants to speak out.